Another name is a famous pioneer name in the interior is this is Courtney, Augusta Annette Courtney. She arrived, according to the Pioneer Women's book here, arrived in Alaska in 1898. I'll read the biography that the Pioneer Women of Alaska read at her funeral. Augusta Annette Wachter Courtney was born in Clay County, Nebraska, October 2, 1874. In 1889, with her parents, she moved to Port Angeles, Washington. In 1898, she came to Dawson, Yukon Territory with her father, William Wachter. In 1900, she was married to Zen Jewell, and to this marriage, two sons were born, Walter and Wilbur, who were with her when the end came. In 1905, she moved to Fairbanks with her family. On January 2, 1916, she was married to Grant Courtney, and since then has lived continuously in Fairbanks. She was a member of the Order of the Pioneer Women of Alaska and was a past president of the Order. I'll read the newspaper clipping that appeared in the News Miner. There's no date on it, so I don't know the date of her death. Unfortunately, they failed to make those notations. At any rate, it reads, "The last rites for Mrs. John Grant Courtney, who passed away in this city at 12:45 a.m. Monday, will be held 2:30 o'clock Wednesday afternoon at the Presbyterian Church. Reverend John E. Youel, Y-O-U-E-L, pastor of the church, of which congregation the deceased was a member, will officiate. Interment will be immediately afterward in the Elks plot of the Fairbanks Cemetery." One of the earliest arrivals in the Yukon Valley following the Great Klondike Gold Strike, Mrs. Courtney was among the best known and most highly esteemed of pioneer women of the Northland and spent the greater part of her life in this country. Mrs. Courtney's maiden name was Augusta Wachter, W-A-E-C-H-T-E-R. She was the daughter of the late Mr. and Mrs. William Wachter and was born in Clay County, Nebraska, October 2, 1874. She first came north in 1898 when she accompanied her father, a pioneer cattleman and meat man, in Dawson, Nome, and Fairbanks, over the famous Chilkoot Trail. As a young woman in Dawson, she witnessed many exciting events in the gold rush days and was assistant to her father in the office of his large market in that city. She accompanied him to Fairbanks in 1905 and spent the greater part of her remaining years in this vicinity. She and Mr. Courtney were married at Chattanooga, January 2, 1916. Mr. Courtney, also a pioneer of the Klondike and the Fairbanks camps, and Mrs. Courtney have made their home in this vicinity ever since. The residence is now at 303 Fourth Avenue. Immediate surviving members of Mrs. Courtney's family are Walter and Wilbur Jewell, her sons by a previous marriage, Mrs. Jonas L. Brewis of 505 Ninth Avenue, Fairbanks, a sister, Mrs. M. O. Carlson, formerly of Fairbanks, now a resident of Berkeley, California, also a sister, and Henry Wachter of Seattle and president of the Wachter Brothers Company, a brother. Two sons now in the city to attend the funeral are engaged in activities in the Circle District. Wilbur, eldest, conducts a sawmill at the ferry, 14 miles from Circle, while Walter is engaged with the Deadwood Mining Company on Deadwood Creek. Mr. Courtney is employed with the Fairbanks Cigar Store. Mrs. Courtney was one of the earliest members of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, a representative organization of the kind in Fairbanks, and was one of the most devoted members and tireless workers. She served in all official capacities in the lodge and was a past president, in which position she had served with great credit. Beloved by all members of the order and by pioneers and others generally who were fortunate enough to have known her, Mrs. Courtney will ever be remembered by her many friends as one of the most gracious, capable, and devoted to the pioneer women of the North. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska was Ray B. Carter. She spelled her first name R-A-E. She was born in San Francisco and arrived in Nome August 26, 1900. She writes, "My maiden name was Ray Boas, B-O-A-S. I was born and raised in San Francisco, California, where I resided, being engaged as a saleswoman until the 9th day of August, 1900. When I left for Alaska to be married, I arrived at Nome on August 26, 1900, and was married to Fred Carter on the 27th of the same month. Judge Noyes performing the ceremony. Resided in Nome 4 years, during which time I engaged in many different kinds of business, including dry goods business, buying and selling furs, taught dancing, speculated in real estate, loaned money, engaged in mining, etc. I arrived in Fairbanks in the summer of 1906, where I resided until the Iditarod Stampede, which I took in. I stayed there one winter when I stampeded to Ruby. Engaged in mining at both places, which I have followed up to the present time and expect to for the next 3 or 4 years, having interest at both places." This was dated May 17th, 1916. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, unfortunately, has no biography, no notes at all. Simply the name, birthplace, and arrival time. She was Ella Card Clark, born in Sacramento, California. She arrived in Alaska, landing in Juneau, July 8, 1895. Here's a well-known name in Fairbanks. Fairbanks history, that is. She's passed away by now, of course. Anna E. Kramer. And I'll read from Mrs. Kramer's own handwriting here in her application to join the Pioneer Women of Alaska. Anna E. Kramer, born January 20th, 1885, in La Center, Clark County, Washington. Arrived in Nome July 1st, 1903. She writes, "I came to Nome with my sister Belle and her husband, Charles Henckley, H-E-N-C-K-L-E-Y. When I wanted to leave Nome and return to the States, they asked me to stay and accompany them to Fairbanks, which I did, in August of 1904. I have lived here continuously, excepting for visits home, and my mother and father wished to have me near them. I sold out and went out and lived near them from 1920 to 1928. My son was born out there, just 1.5 miles from where I was born. My husband and I returned to the north in 1928, and we have bought our present business and home on College Road. I love Alaska and expect to always live here. Anna E. Kramer." There's a paper in this section on Mrs. Kramer, which in her own handwriting, some remarks that apparently she had made when she was president of the Pioneer Women of Alaska at some function. She writes, "I was the youngest of 6 children. My father was Captain James Carr, C-A-R-R, and Mother Anne was of a pioneer family who crossed the plains in 1849 from St. Louis, Missouri. My father was born in County Clare, Ireland, came to America as a young man. My early schooling was in Portland, Oregon, where my father was employed on the river steamboats, mostly in the lower Columbia River. Mother's people settled in Kelso, Washington. Her father, Jesse, looks like Froler, F-R-O-L-E-R, had 6 sons and 6 daughters. Mother was the oldest girl, and he had 700 acres of land and raised beef cattle. The Long Bell Lumber Company of Longview is on this place now, and the Monticello Hotel also. My trip to Alaska in 1903 was my first try away from home. Lonely, you know, I was very lonely at first, and I did not like Nome. But I'd always liked Fairbanks. I was just 18, and Alaska did not have many girls my age. In later years, more families came, and we had such nice parties, and we skated and danced and had a riding club. I always had a saddle horse to ride and drive. And I was in business from 1907 to 1920, and managed to keep busy and happy. Most sincerely, Anna Kramer. In 1959, Mrs. Kramer was Queen Regent for the pioneers of Alaska. King Regent was Peter Steger. I'll read a story that appeared in the News Miner at that time. It doesn't give a date on it, but through my other records, I determined that Mrs. Kramer was the Queen Regent in 1959. At any rate, this is what it reads. Pioneers of Alaska Auxiliary 8 were hostesses at a tea given in honor of the Queen and King Regents of the Winter Carnival, Mrs. Anna Kramer and Peter Steger. Also honored was Mrs. Harvey Carlyle, president of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. The tea, held from 2 to 5 p.m. yesterday at Eagles Hall, featured spring flowers of pink, white, and yellow. Yellow daffodils graced individual tea tables. High on the wall was the constellation of silver stars denoting the theme of Winter Carnival. It's in the stars. All afternoon, Fairbanksons and visiting carnival goers arrived. Many were brought by members of the Seroptimus Club, who furnished transportation for the event. Pouring at the tea were past presidents of Auxiliary 8. Mrs. Ray Reedy and Mrs. Bruce Thomas were co-chairmen for the affair. Mrs. Virginia Walker was in charge of the kitchen. Furnishing music for the afternoon were Mrs. William Taylor and Mrs. Helen Grass. The honored guests were seated at the Regent table. Mrs. Kramer and Mrs. Carlyle wore corsages of white gladiolas presented them by Auxiliary 8. The King and Queen Regent both enjoyed the tea, they said, and reported their carnival schedule has kept both of them very busy. Another entry in the Pioneer Women of Alaska record book is Anna, I won't pronounce her middle name because I can't, Caskey, C-A-S-K-E-Y. The middle name is spelled P-E-N-K-E-T-H. She was born in Sheffield, Yorkshire, England, arrived in Skagway September 17, 1899. She writes, was elected first president of Igloo No. 3, Pioneer Women of Alaska, when the Igloo was organized on February 19, 1916, at Fairbanks, Alaska. Was elected queen of the carnival at the first celebration of the Festival of the Midnight Sun on June 21, 1912. Was chosen Arctic Queen at the installation ceremonies of Camp Clary, No. 16, Arctic Brotherhood, held at Chattanooga, November 12, 1912. Directed performances of the Native Sons and Daughters of the Golden North, held in celebration of the Festival of the Midnight Sun on June 21st, for 4 consecutive years. I was elected Worthy Matron of the Midnight Sun Chapter, Number 6, Order of the Eastern Star, at Fairbanks, Alaska, at its organization on September 29, 1913, serving until December 30th, 1914. Anna Caskey is very musical and directed the first opera ever given in the North in December 1906 at Fairbanks, in which she also sang the leading contralto part. She's been one of the principal vocalists in most musical affairs given in Fairbanks. Her musical education was secured at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. She has also directed numerous musicals and dramatical shows given both in Fairbanks and Dawson. Another entry in this book is Martha J. Cox, who was born in Pleasant Plains, Illinois, arrived in Alaska in October of 1900, and there is no history on Martha Cox, just the entry, her name only. Another member is Corinne Call, C-O-R-I-N-N-E, Call, C-A-L-L, was born in Washington, D.C. and arrived in Alaska July 21, 1904. She gives no history. There is a clipping that's entered into this book, but there's no date on it. But it concerns Mrs. Call. It was apparently from the News Miner. Yes, it does note that it's from the News Miner. The headline reads, Death of Adopted Eskimo Girl Mourned by Alaskan. A woman who adopted seven part Eskimo natives during a long teaching career in Alaska was in mourning today. Mrs. Corinne Call, 66, told of the satisfaction that had come from opening her home and her heart to the seven she had prepared for the funeral, as she prepared for the funeral of Shirley, 16, one of the foster daughters. She died Tuesday in a sanatorium. The story, by the way, has a Seattle, February 20th, dateline. Don't know the year, though. Mrs. Call adopted the girls during 30 years of teaching from Barrow on down. She had dedicated her life to the Eskimos after their kindness to her at the time of her husband's death. Shirley, only a few weeks old at the time, was the last child Mrs. Call adopted. As the girls, Melba, who was blind, Nita, Anna, Olga, Sally, Betty, and Shirley, as the girls grew older, she sent them to Seattle to attend high school while she continued her work in Alaska. Nita and Anna are now married, living in Alaska. Melba, too, is married, living in Seattle. Olga is a Seattle beauty operator. Betty died at Nome. Sally, the only foster daughter left, lives with Mrs. Call. Mrs. Call came back to Seattle in 1941 when she retired from teaching. For a time, she worked as a cleaning woman in Doctor's Hospital to continue supporting her girls. But now she no longer works. She's quoted as saying, "The Eskimos were good to me. My girls were good to me, too. It was worth everything I ever did to have them." Here's a name that's very familiar in interior Alaska history, Collins. May Kimball Collins, born in Marysville, California, and arrived in Alaska on September 1, 1906. She writes, "I arrived in Fairbanks on the steamer Tanana, lived at Fox until November of 1918, when we moved to Fairbanks. I have one daughter, Margaret Henshaw Collins, now Mrs. Cooper." That was in 1934. This was entered in the book in 1934. Her daughter was Mrs. Cooper. Someone else writes in here, "Mrs. Collins taught school many years in Fairbanks until 1930, being one of the first teachers to receive a teaching pension from the territory. She held offices in the Pioneer Women's Lodge. The last office held was president. She was born February 11, 1872, in Marysville, California, from pioneer parents of Sutter County. She died and rests in the Fairbanks Cemetery underneath the birch tree where she had previously expressed a wish to lie." Oh, and Paige carries some newspaper clippings on Mrs. Collins. I'll read them, both of them, because she was the first Mrs. E.B. Collins. The second Mrs. E.B. Collins just died, let's see, a little over a year ago now. There's no date on this, unfortunately. I don't know when she died exactly. Headline says, Mrs. Collins succumbs to long illness. Demise takes place shortly after midnight and funeral will be held Sunday afternoon. Mrs. May Kimball Collins, wife of Mayor Ernest B. Collins, died shortly after midnight last night in St. Joseph's Hospital in Fairbanks. She had entered an institution a week ago last Monday. Since last Saturday, she had been virtually in a comatose condition. Her passing was peaceful, a transition to eternal sleep being from what appeared to be ordinary slumber. Mrs. Collins was taken seriously ill in December last year. In an effort to regain health, she journeyed to California, where she underwent a surgical operation. She returned to Fairbanks in June. For a while, her condition seemed to be improved, but a relapse occurred. When she entered the hospital last week, there was no hope for her recovery. Mrs. Collins' immediate surviving relatives are Mayor Collins, Mrs. Margaret Collins Cooper, a daughter who lives in Oil Hill, Kansas, Mrs. E.M. Hill, sister of Hoquiam Washington, and Mrs. Hazel Burned, B-E-H-R-E-N-D-T, a niece of this city. Mrs. Barrent, I guess it is. Mrs. Barrent is a professional nurse. Her home was in California last year when Mrs. Collins went to that state for surgical treatment. Mrs. Barrent came north when Mrs. Collins returned here early last summer and was her constant nurse and companion since then. Funeral exercises will be held Sunday afternoon in the Presbyterian Church. Interment will be in Fairbanks Cemetery. Mrs. Collins was born February 11, 1872, in Sutter County, California. Her parents, Mr. and Mrs. J.H. Kimball, having been pioneers of that county. She was graduated from the California State Teachers College at Chico in 1893. Subsequently, she taught school in California and became principal of the Teachers College. She and Mr. Collins were married Thanksgiving Day, November 26, 1900, in Yuba City, California. They moved to Alaska in 1906, coming to the Fairbanks District. Their first home in the north was at Fox, and Mrs. Collins was one of the first white women on Goldstream. Interested in education, she helped organize a school at Fox and was its teacher until 1918 when she and Mr. Collins came to Fairbanks. In this city, Mrs. Collins resumed her teaching and continued it until 1930. Mrs. Collins was a member and officer of the Ladies' Aid Society of the Presbyterian Church, past worthy matron of the Order of Eastern Star, and past president of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. No person had a greater host of friends, none was more kindly to all, nor more devoted to the general welfare than she. Her passing is deeply mourned by the whole community. The other newspaper clipping is following her funeral. No date on this either. Funeral services were held yesterday afternoon in the Presbyterian Church for the late Mrs. May Kimball Collins, wife of Mayor Ernest B. Collins. The edifice was thronged with friends of the deceased. Members of the Elks Lodge and Order of the Eastern Star attended in a body. Floral tributes profuse and beautiful. The rites were conducted by Reverend John E. Yoel, pastor of the church, who delivered an eloquent eulogy. The processional and recessional selections were played by Don Adler. Vocal selections were given by a choir consisting of Mrs. O.J. Reinseth, Mrs. J.H. Groves, W.C. Ross, and James T. Hutchison, accompanied on the piano by Mrs. W. C. Ross. Straighten this out so I can read it. The pallbearers were Andrew Nerlin, Charles Fowler, Leo Rogge, Charles Taylor, Peter Grandison, and J.H. Groves. Interment was in Fairbanks Cemetery. Helen Carlisle is a well-known name among the pioneer women of Alaska. She currently is living in the South, I think in Georgia, with her daughter. I'll read what she wrote in her for her history in the Pioneer record book. Her name was Helen Moore Bachman Carlisle. She was born in Portland, Oregon. Arrived in Skagway, Alaska in 1899 and went to Bennett, Lake Bennett. In 1917 went to Nome. She writes, "In 1899, I went to Lake Bennett with my mother and sister. My father was already there, having walked there along with many others. Went through the schools in Seattle later. Graduated from the University of Washington in 1915. Taught 2 years in Washington, then went to Nome in 1917 to teach, planning to stay 1 year. Frederick Bachman and I were married in 1921. We had three children, Frederick Marcus Bachman, Roger W. Bachman, and Judith T. Bachman. In 1925, we went to the States and traveled by car through the States for 4 years. In 1929, I went to teach at Teller Mission, several miles across the bay from Teller. I had the children with me. Fred, my husband, had gone to Minneapolis to regain his health under his brother's care. His brother was a doctor, Dr. Michael Bachman. Fred passed away September 26, 1929, in Minneapolis. I taught 4 years at the mission, then returned to Nome to teach there. I taught 10 years. Then, in April of 1943, I accepted the position of acting register of the land office. After 7 years, the land office was closed and I was transferred to Fairbanks. By this time, my sons were in the service and out, and my daughter married. While in Fairbanks, I joined the Pioneer Women of Alaska. Later, I resigned my position in the land office and returned to Nome, where I was U.S. Commissioner for 22 months. Then I returned to teaching for 2 years. Harvey K. Carlisle and I were married August 8, 1955, just after I finished attending summer session at the University of Alaska. I taught the 1955-56 year in Nome. Harvey was with me there. We then moved to Fairbanks. We went to California in October, usually each year, for 7 years. In the seventh year, February 14, 1962, Harvey passed away in San Mateo, California. I returned to Fairbanks and am still here. This was written on July 21, 1965. And in 1963, Mrs. Carlisle was Queen Regent, Pioneer's Queen Regent. King Regent that year was Irving McKay Reed. It's a picture of the two. The story, I'll read the cut line under the picture, reads, "King and Queen Regents for the Winter Carnival, Irving Reed and Mrs. Harvey Carlisle together represent more than 100 years' residence in Alaska. I have lived through many years of Alaska history," Reed said. Mrs. Carlisle is showing the King Regent pictures of Nome, where she taught school in 1917. "I've enjoyed my years in Alaska," she said. "The Regents will be special guests of honor Saturday at the Pioneers' Tea at the Eagles Hall. The tea is open to the public and starts at 2 p.m. The story that follows, I'll read that. It'll give a lot of history on both of them. A standing tradition during the Fairbanks Winter Carnival is the annual Pioneers Tea, sponsored by the Auxiliary Number 8, to give Fairbanksons an opportunity to meet their friends and talk together over a hot cup of coffee or tea. Party sandwiches and cookies will be served during the tea at the Eagles Hall between the hours of 2 and 5 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. The public is invited to attend. This was written in March 15th. This story appeared in the March 15th, 1963 News Miner. On with the story. Mrs. Carl Johnson and Mrs. Paul Griman Sr., chairman of the tea, said special guests at the affair Saturday will be the King and Queen Regent of the Carnival, Irving Reed and Mrs. Harvey Carlyle. The Queen Regent has lived in Alaska since 1917, when she arrived in Nome to teach school. When asked why a young woman would travel to Alaska in the early days to teach, Mrs. Carlyle said, "I was teaching school in Seattle for $80 per month, and when I heard teachers in Nome were paid $150 per month, I decided to join my cousin and his family there to earn extra money to support my parents. I planned to stay in Alaska 1 year." 46 years later, Mrs. Carlyle is still in Alaska, and after her first husband, Fred Bachman, died in 1929, her teaching ability enabled her to support her 3 children. Mrs. Carlyle said, "Alaska has always given me the opportunity to provide for myself and my family." Mrs. Carlyle's son, Fred Bachman, makes his home in Nome, and Roger Bachman lives in Sunnyvale, California. Her daughter, Mrs. Judith Callahan, makes her home in Columbus, Georgia. Mrs. Carlyle married Harvey Carlyle in 1955 and was widowed last year. She makes her permanent home at 1115 First Avenue. She is a member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, the Pioneers Auxiliary, Daughter of the American Revolution, Rebecca's Eastern Star, Order of the Amaranth, and AAUW. Despite her many hardships, Mrs. Carlyle said, "I have enjoyed my many years in Alaska." King Regent Irving Reed has been a resident of Alaska 63 years. He said, quote, "I've lived through many years of Alaska history. As a boy, he lived in Dutch Harbor with his family and then attended school in Nome in the early 1900s. He tells of the miners he knew in the boom town of Nome that boasted a population of 40,000. Reed saw $1 million worth of gold bars in the bank window in Nome. Irving has been in Fairbanks since 1924, when he arrived in the city as a mineral surveyor and mining engineer with the contract, the patents for the FE Company mining claims." That is a poor sentence, but that's the way it reads. Irving has been in Fairbanks since 1924, when he arrived in the city as a mineral surveyor and mining engineer with the contract, the patents for the FE Company mining claims. During the years, he has held the position of assistant mining engineer for the Territorial Mining Department, Territorial Highway Engineer, and Alaska Game Commissioner. Reed was instrumental in getting the herd of buffalo transplanted from the Montana Reserve to the Big Delta area in the 1930s. He did some gold mining on his own in the Nome and Rampart area. He said, "But I never got rich at it." Mr. and Mrs. Irving Reed make their home on Farmers Loop Road and have 3 children. Irving Stoy Reed of Malibu, California. Mrs. Nancy Bauer of Concord, Massachusetts. And Mrs. Cynthia Carlson of California. The Reeds have 12 grandchildren. As one of the early members of the Pioneers of Alaska, Reed marched with the pioneers in the first Fairbanks Winter Carnival Parade. He's presently serving as president of the Tanana Yukon Historical Society, and as a member of the Shriners, Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association, Scottish Rites, and Masons in Nome. The regents for the carnival are selected on the basis of the number of years they've been a member of the Pioneers of Alaska. A special interest to winter carnival participants in attending the tea Saturday will be the exhibit of several oil paintings by the well-known Alaskan artist C. Rusty Herlene. Mrs. Maurice Johnson will also present some of her Alaskan paintings during the tea. Guests will have the opportunity to meet the Carnival Queen candidates, who will attend the tea at 2 p.m. Due to their busy schedule, the queens will be at the tea for a short time only. Persons interested in meeting girls should plan to be at the tea at 2 p.m. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska is another Collins. Apparently she's the daughter of Ernest B. and Mary Kimball Collins. At any rate, she was born in Chico, California. She arrived in Fairbanks September 1st, 1906. Her name is Margaret Henshaw Collins. Came to Fairbanks with my parents, lived at Fox until 1918, graduated from Fairbanks High School in 1921, taught school at Tanana, summer of 1922. Graduated from the University State College, Pullman, Washington in 1926. Am now teaching in high school at Colfax, Washington. Heavens only knows when that was written, so I don't know if she's still alive or not. I don't think so. Another member is Mary E. Chadwick. The only thing on her is that the Pioneer Women of Alaska wrote and apparently read at her funeral. Mary Elizabeth Chadwick, beloved wife of Hiram A. Chadwick, and a resident of Fairbanks in the North for 20 years past, was called by death on Saturday afternoon, October 21, 1922, at 2:30 o'clock, as the result of an illness many months standing. Mary E. Chadwick was born in St. Clair, Michigan, November 11, 1856. On May 14, 1881, she became the bride of Hiram A. Chadwick, and in 1902 she came to Alaska to join her husband, who had then spent 4 years in the territory. For the past 20 years, they engaged in mining in Dawson, Rampart, Fort Yukon, and Fairbanks. They've made their home in Fairbanks since the year 1909. Mary E. Chadwick was widely known throughout Alaska for her lodge, civic, and charitable work, and her death was a sad loss to the Fairbanks community. Starting as warden of the Midnight Sun Chapter, Order of the Eastern Star, she worked through all the stations and was worthy matron this year. She was also a member of Igloo No. 3, Pioneer Women of Alaska, and at the time of her death was the president of that organization. Upon her arrival in Fairbanks, she became connected with St. Matthew's Hospital as an assistant, giving a helping hand to all who were in need of treatment. The funeral services were held at Masonic Temple on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, October 29, under the auspices of Midnight Sun Chapter, Order of the Eastern Star. Services were well attended by the Pioneer Women and members of Igloo No. 4, Pioneers of Alaska. This is Henrietta DeRee, spelled capital D-E, capital W-R-E-E. There's another member of Pioneer Women of Alaska, or Igloo No. 3 it was called when it first organized. In 1956, when she joined joined at that time, this is in October of 56, she wrote some of her history. I was born 8th of September, 1879, I won't begin to pronounce the word, I can't read it, in Belgium. Came to the United States when I was 13 years old with my mother and landed in Republic, Michigan, where I got married in 1901. In 1902, a son was born. In 1903, a daughter was born. We stayed 2 years and moved to Black Diamond, Washington, where a son was born August 1905. The same month, we took the last boat in Seattle for Dawson, Yukon Territory, and made our home in Gold Bun. A daughter was born in January 1907. We stayed there till we took a stage with the four children, my mother and myself, for Dawson, where we took the last boat for Seattle. My husband took a boat for Fairbanks. We stayed in Seattle till my husband found a cabin to live in. In 1908, the children, mother and I, took a boat in Seattle for Fairbanks and made our home in Balt Creek, staying 2 years. Then we moved to Engineer Creek and stayed where the children went to school in Fox. In 1919, we moved to Fairbanks where the children went to high school and college. In 1944, we sold our business and home as my husband was retired after selling out. In October, we left Fairbanks, looked around in Seattle for 1 month. My husband did not like it there, as he said, too much rain. My son wrote to look around in California before you buy, which we did. In November, we landed in Redwood City, where we bought our home. My husband passed away in 1947. I still live in the same house, which address is 156 Oak Avenue, Redwood City, California. I have my son Henry and family living in Redwood City. This is Virgil Bailey and family living in San Carlos. She also belongs to the Pioneers of Alaska. Frank and family live in Fairbanks. Mrs. Leslie Almquist and family in Fairbanks. Now you can take which is of interest for the record book. Respectfully, Mrs. Henrietta Turee. Another well-known name is Adriana Lutro Coyle. She has no history entered into this book, or the Pioneer Women of Alaska have nothing entered for her. She was born in Tacoma, Washington. She arrived in Alaska in 1900. That's not quite true. I know she arrived in Dawson in 1900 as a four-year-old. We'll have to find something on her elsewhere. Here's a familiar name in history, Clemens. This lady is Mrs. Gertrude Clemens. Her husband apparently was, I will read on and explain the relationship to Mark Twain. Anyway, she writes on the 26th of May in 1941 that she was 81 years old. Her name, Mrs. Gertrude Clemens, C-L-E-M-E-N-S. Born in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin in 1860. Arrived in Alaska in 1898. Dear Pioneer Sisters, first arrived in Ketchikan, was there 2 years, moved to Haines Mission in 1901, lived there until 1904. Myself and husband prospected up the Chilkoot River on a creek called Bear Creek, which was in British Columbia. In 1904, myself and husband headed for Fairbanks. We floated down the Yukon in a small boat. When we reached Rampart, it looked good, so there we lived until 1938, when we moved to Fairbanks. So here I am, Mrs. Gertrude Clemens. Inserted in Mrs. Clemens' file here is a story that was written by Lulu Fairbanks, and it's a story about, kind of a little feature story of Mrs. Clemens. I'll read it. Titled, I've been thinking of a lady now 77 years of age living in Rampart who still does the outdoor work of a miner, who can shoot a rifle as well as any man, run a trap line in winter, and who can cut ground sluice, set boxes, put in riffles, drain and recover gold as well as anyone. At least that is what they all say of Mrs. O.C. Clemens, who was faced at the age of 60 when her husband died with the problems of Alaska living and has won the game alone. Her husband, who died at the age of 74 years in 1923, was the nephew of Mark Twain, humorist of worldwide fame. When Twain made his famous trip to Nevada, he took his young nephew to the then Wild West. Young Clemens became a quartz miner. The Clemens home in Rampart, only a stone's throw from Rex Beach's famous cabin there, is known to many of the literary-minded tourists who make the summer junket to Rampart. Mrs. Clemens recalls that it was one of her chores in the early days to awaken the now-famous novelist by throwing a stone on his cabin roof to call him out of his daily work on his claim. In the more than 30 years since Beach left Rampart, his stories in the Northland have become famous. Long before the death of her husband, Mrs. Clemens began learning the hard ways of the far north. She still shakes her head when she remembers the first lynx she trapped, for it was very full of fleas, and she's never heard of bewhack. Having seen the track of marten at the dam on their placer claim, she set a small trap with a fish lure. When she hurried out the next day to see the marten, she felt sure she would be in it, but there was a big blue lynx, spitting, clawing, and glaring at her instead. At first, she said, I didn't know what to do. I had never seen a cat like that before. But I got up nerve enough to cut a long pole and tackle him with it. After I thought he surely ought to be dead, I took a loop of cord and hung him by the neck just to be sure. Feeling quite proud at the time, I took him to the cabin and carried him on my back. And that's when I learned about fleas. By the time I got home, they seemed to be all over my head. And once there, I didn't know what to do. But a canny old Scotchman told me how to drive them away with bewhack. After that, she caught many lynx, even had herself a fine fur coat made of them. But she was always careful to put the new coat in a well-dusted gunny sack. Sometimes she would catch 6 or 7 a day. Womanlike, she played safe with her sets, just to make sure of the catch. She used both traps and snare at every set. In the summer, Mrs. Clemens operated her placer claims, 5 of them, on Hunter Creek. All the hard work, pick and shovel and sluice, she did single-handed, and yet made the work pay enough for a good outfit and a living. She got her winter supply of meat by hunting and did all the work of skinning, besides taking care of the furs she trapped, fleshing, stretching, drying, and marketing. With one cabin in Rampart and another on Hunter Creek, 5 miles out of town, she has seen that once booming city decline to a native village again. Now there are 20 white men living there. In the early days, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of coarse gold was plastered from the creeks around Rampart. There is only one trader there now, A.S. Crane, who is also the postmaster. Mrs. Clemens was 77 years old on the 26th of May and is not bashful about admitting it, for she is now well on the road to better health since a sojourn at Circle Springs. She was hardly able to walk when she went there, but now she declares that the waters there have done a world of good, and she has just completed another summer's work that would make a WPA shovel leaner ashamed of himself. Again, this was a story written by Lulu Fairbanks about Mrs. O.W. Clemens. Gertrude Clemens. Still another member, Pioneer Women of Alaska, was Mrs. Ida E. Crook, born in East Saginaw, Michigan, and arrived in Alaska in September of 1900. She writes, I arrived in Fairbanks September 1904. In company with my 2 sons, Roy and George, my husband having arrived about 6 weeks prior. He had built us a home across the river on Garden Island. That winter I had my real experience in the north. We ran out of coal oil and candles, could not find any in the market for sale. The only light I had was grease in the saucer in which I placed a wick. I also had to make everything my boys wore, right down to their footwear. I made moccasins and mitts out of moose hide, since our stores carried nothing for children. Mrs. Delia Dunham is another member of Pioneer Women of Alaska, and in 1937 she was given a life membership. There's a short story that appeared, I guess it was in February of 1937. It reads, in recognition of her faithful services and loyalty to Mrs. Delia Dunham was granted a life membership in the lodge at the meeting of Saturday night of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. As usual, the Pioneer Women will hold their Lincoln's birthday dance this year on February 13th, Saturday, and plan something special, announcements regarding which will be made soon. Mrs. Florence Brown, chairman, Mrs. Genevieve Parker, Mrs. Alice Handley, and Mrs. Mary Main prepared and served an elaborate luncheon, terminating a very pleasant evening. Mrs. Dunham died in January of 1948. I'll just read an article that's glued into this record book on her death. This is from the January 27th, 1948, Fairbanks News Miner. Mrs. Frank Dunham, Pioneer Fairbanks resident, died in Seattle this morning, according to a telegram received by E.B. Collins today. Up to the time she left Fairbanks with her husband more than a year ago, Mrs. Dunham took an active part in the social and civic life of the community and was well known throughout the district. She was married to Mr. Dunham in Fairbanks shortly after her arrival in the territory. At that time, her husband was a partner in the Dunham and Clark drugstore, where Lavery Store is now located. In 1910, the Dunhams went to Iditarod and established a branch of the store there, returning to Fairbanks in 1912 or 1913. They had sold the family residence at Cowles and Second when they left Fairbanks, but bought it back when they returned. After her husband bought out his partner in 1938, Mrs. Dunham helped in the drugstore, especially during the war years. 2 years ago, Mr. Dunham sold the store, and shortly afterwards, the couple left for Seattle, buying a home there. They returned to Fairbanks last summer, spending the summer months at their home on Harding Lake, and had intended to do so this summer. Mrs. Dunham was a member of the Pioneers of Alaska. Besides her husband, she has relatives in the States whose names were not available in Fairbanks. Just a little aside, the Dunham home still remains at Second and Cowles, and it's immediately adjacent to the present, is it George C. Thomas Memorial Library? Mrs. Dunham's yards were really a showplace in the summer times. Lawn was beautiful, flowers all over the place, according to some of the old timers here. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska is Klondi N. Dufresne, D-U-F-R-E-S-N-E, born in Deadwood, South Dakota, arrived in Alaska in September of 1902. There's nothing in her history here. However, last year, the Alaska Sportsman, which is the Alaska magazine, now carried a series written by Klondi Dufresne. Another entry here is Lucy DeRee, born in Republic, Michigan, arrived in Dawson in September of 1905. She writes, I arrived in Dawson on September 1st, 1905, lived in Dawson 2 years, and then went outside with my parents, came to Fairbanks in 1908. I've had all my schooling in Alaska, graduated from Fairbanks High School in 1923. Another very short history on another woman is Mary DeCamp, D-E, capital C-A-M-P, born in Washington, Iowa, came to Alaska, first landing in Wrangell in March of 1898, arrived in Fairbanks in 1903, and that's all she writes. Mary Driscoll arrived in Alaska in May 15th, 1900. She's still living here in Fairbanks, but no history whatever in here. Here's D.H. Delaney, who was born in Ireland and arrived in Alaska in May of 1896. The only thing in her history is this: have made but one trip to the outside since my arrival. Mrs. John Durand, also born in Ireland, arrived in Alaska in 1904. No history at all. Here's a Mrs. Joe A. Davis, who was born in Clinton, Iowa, arrived in the 40 mile in 1896. She came to Fairbanks in 1934. Left 40 Mile in 1897 and went to Circle City, stayed there 1 year and left for Dawson, and left in 1898, left Fairbanks September 44 to go to Seattle. There's a little article here on when Mrs. Davis left Fairbanks to go to Seattle. It was in the Jessen's Weekly, October 6, 1944, reads, Pioneer women honor Mrs. Davis before departure. Before Mrs. Joe Davis left Fairbanks with her husband last week to make their home in the States, she was honored with a farewell party given by the Pioneer Women of Alaska, of which she was a member, at the home of Mrs. Henry P. Karstens. Mrs. Davis first came to Alaska in 1896 with her former husband, W. H. Guy. They landed in the 40-mile country, where they remained 2 days before proceeding to Circle City. In the spring of 1897, they left for Dawson, where they had mining interests. In the spring of 1898, they left on the SS Hamilton for St. Michael. All on board were sick, and there were 3 deaths, including her husband's. He was buried at St. Michael with her baby son. Mrs. Guy continued her journey to Seattle, where she lived with her parents. In 1901, she returned to Dawson with her father to dispose of her mining property. Here, her father became ill and died. He was buried in Dawson, and she returned to Seattle. Later, she met Mr. Nixon and was married to him. After 18 months, he died very suddenly. 2 years later, she and Joe Davis were married. Both being Alaskans, they returned to Alaska, where they mined for a number of years. From there, they went east. In 1934, they came back to Alaska and located at Portman Creek in the Ruby Country. In 1936, they came to Fairbanks, where they lived until recently when they sold their home on 11th Avenue. They left for Seattle expecting to remain there permanently. Lula Ann Fairburn was born in Mount Vernon, Missouri, arrived in Alaska in October of 1903. She writes that she arrived in Fairbanks July 1904, have lived in Fairbanks continuously since that time. I have one son, Orville G. Fairburn. No date on when she wrote this. Someone else has entered the following. Mrs. Fairburn was one of the first teachers eligible for a teacher's pension in the territory. She passed away October 19, 1933 in Seattle, where she had gone for treatment. Her husband, D.J. Fairburn, and son, Orville, survived. She held different offices in the lodge, the last president of the Women Pioneers. A story appeared with a Seattle dateline in 1933, October 21, 1933, Seattle. Funeral services were to be held today for Mrs. Lulu Fairburn, 64, wife of David Fairburn, postmaster at Fairbanks, who died Thursday night in a hospital after 2 weeks' illness. Mrs. Fairburn had been visiting her son, O.G. Fairburn, Seattle manager of the Veterans Bureau. Mrs. Fairburn taught school in Fairbanks for the past 22 years. The previous day in the Fairbanks News Miner, October 20, 1933, reads, Mrs. Lulu Ann Fairburn died yesterday in Seattle. Word of her demise was received in Fairbanks today by her husband, Assistant Postmaster D.J. Fairburn. Beside her husband, Mrs. Fairburn leaves a son, Orville, who was at her bedside when she passed away. Mrs. Fairburn was a pioneer of the North. She was a past-worthy matron of the Fairbanks chapter of the Eastern Star, was one of the first school teachers in Fairbanks. She was past president of the Fairbanks Women's Auxiliary of the Pioneers of Alaska. Laura Hagen Foster Flanagan, born in Illinois, arrived in Alaska in February of 1898. She writes, My husband, son, and myself were shipwrecked on the steamer Corona, January 28, 1898, was landed on Lewis Island with other survivors bound for Alaska. After a week on the island, the steamer Oregon picked us up, went as far as Wrangell, left July 4th for Skagway, washed over the trail to Lake Bennett, built 2 scows, and sailed for Dawson. When we came to Five Finger Rapids, we took the wrong channel, tearing off the front part of our scow, but floated along till we reached the shore. We were 18 on the scow, four women. One of the women said after this, "I am satisfied to have four fingers and a thumb." Left Dawson 12 years ago on the Monarch for Fairbanks. Made the trip in 30 days to Chena and walked to Fairbanks. There's nothing here to indicate when this entry was made. At any rate, Laura Foster Flanagan walked the trail and walked into Fairbanks. There is a clipping that was included here from the January 24th, 1952, Jessen's Weekly of Fairbanks. It says, "Charter member, pioneer women, passes away. Funeral arrangements for Mrs. Laura O'Flanagan, who died Tuesday afternoon, are being made by Pioneer Women of Alaska, and services will be conducted at the Fairbanks Memorial Chapel at 1 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Mrs. O'Flanagan's death followed a long illness. She entered the hospital a few days ago after her only surviving son, Earl Foster, arrived here from Los Angeles. Coming to Fairbanks in 1904, Mrs. O'Flanagan first came north in 1898 with her first husband, Wilson Foster. The family was shipwrecked en route to Skagway and spent 2 weeks on a coastal island before being rescued. After spending the winter in Wrangell, they traveled to Dawson, Yukon Territory, making the trip over Chilkoot Pass, with the then Mrs. Foster carrying her 2-year-old child in her arms. After coming to Fairbanks, she operated a hand laundry until 1917, when she married the late Clarence O'Flanagan. The couple operated a trading post in the Nebesna district and then moved to Wasilla before returning to Fairbanks, where Mrs. O'Flanagan has lived ever since. Mrs. O'Flanagan was about 75 years old and was born in Mascoutah, Mascoutah, Illinois. One of the best known of the early pioneer women, she was chosen Queen Regent of the Winter Carnival 3 years ago. She had been living in her log cabin home at 3rd and Wickersham. In addition to her son, Earl Foster, Mrs. O'Flanagan is survived by a grandson, Michael, now serving with the U.S. Navy. Mrs. O'Flanagan was a member of Auxiliary No. 8, Pioneers of Alaska, and the American Legion Auxiliary, as well as the Pioneer Women of Alaska. She will be buried beside her husband in the Birch Hill Cemetery.